that visitors are present because of the special occasion that is also attached to our purpose of coming here together to give glory to God. And we're thankful for you, and we'll hope that you will find this a good opportunity to express your own praise and thanksgiving to God. And we will join with you in rejoicing over good things that occur in the church. Some of those have been mentioned, and we are very happy about the response to the gospel and part of two of our young men, Max and Landon. And I was thinking about that and about two others that obeyed the gospel in the months before, and then before them, some of our young ladies. And all of this is part of the life of the church and the fruit of the gospel and the joy of being a Christian, part of a congregation. We're thankful for these young lives, their desire to serve the Lord and to receive his gospel with all of its blessings. Tonight, knowing that we have many things yet before us, I do want to use this time in the study of God's Word, but use it efficiently as we turn to Romans chapter 12, and appropriately use this time together for a brief consideration of what Paul says here about the Christian life. And we've given attention to this chapter in times past, and a few months ago in a sermon with a different purpose, but I want to think tonight with you about the matter of Christian influence, the influence of God's people. And so this chapter that we are looking at here can be divided into three parts. In fact, it divides itself, but you can divide it and outline it according to what particular subject you want to focus on. And I want to focus on the matter of influence. Your influence as a Christian, mine, the influence of this congregation. So Paul leads us to think about God's people living before God in the first two verses of this chapter. And he speaks in a general way there about the responsibility we have concerning our bodies, that is, our conduct, the use of the body to express ourselves, and about our minds. And so immediately we are being guided by this apostle to recognize the fact we are responsible. We're responsible for our conduct, we're responsible for our thoughts, and we cannot blame anybody else if we in some way are falling short in these areas. We are the ones responsible, each one for self. But the more important issue here is that it's a consciousness of this responsibility before God. And so then Paul speaks about the matter of offering the body to God as a living sacrifice. That's why the word used here is a word that has to do with spiritual service. It can even have an association with worship. We are, as God's people, a holy priesthood, and we cannot offer an atonement for our sin. Christ gave that. But we can come and offer to God what we ought to offer to him, and that's ourselves. And that's an everyday offering, a living sacrifice. So we know by this relation to God and the offering of our body as this living sacrifice in a way that's acceptable to him, that we cannot misuse what God has given us, this earthly tabernacle, as Paul calls it in another place. We certainly can't idolize it as if it's all important, more important than anything else. But we use it in the service of God. We glorify him with the use of our body. And we have to be taught how to do that in a way that's pleasing to God. And we're thankful we have scripture to teach us about this. But involved in this too is the mind, how we think. And so we're not to let our minds be shaped by the pattern of this world, how everybody else thinks, or the people around us who have a lot of influence on us, or the people we want to agree with. And what we want to be in agreement with is the will of God, what is acceptable to him, what's holy, and what's good and perfect, pleasing to God. So this consciousness of God, this awareness of God, that we are his people every day before him, has this deep effect upon how we think and how we direct our thoughts and how we live in the body, how we speak and how we act. So there's necessary resistance. We resist the temptation, the persuasion to be conformed to the world. And there's also necessary an awareness, constant awareness of where we are and how we're thinking and how we're acting as God's people in the body and in our minds. And then along with that, there is a self-examination that we humbly submit ourselves to by the Word of God, each one of us. We don't assume that what we do is right because we did it, or what we think is right because we think it. We have the humility as children of God to seek from God's Word the answer to the question, what ought I to think? And how should I conduct myself? That's a humbling way this chapter begins, this emphasis upon responsibility. And this is spoken in view of the fact that in recent months we've had some of our young people to respond to the gospel. They're at the beginning of their Christian lives, and this is something that they need to be aware of. You may have been aware of it a long time, but it's better to learn this early in life. The idea of the sense of living out my life before God. I want to please Him. Then I think about the excitement of graduating from high school. Many of us have been there. You know, when you are going through the years of school and high school, you're doing a lot of things that everybody's doing. You go through the same stages of education. You go through the same sort of rites and ceremonies, and everybody does this. You all share in that together, and then boom, you're 18 years old, and you leave high school, and now it's very much individualistic. What will chart your course now? Where will you go in life? You're not going to be doing all these things together anymore. And all the pictures of doing all these things together when you're in high school, that's over. You're now one person. As a Christian, you're one person before God. And it can be a very exciting time, but it's an entirely different way of life. And as we sang tonight, the interest of God in that individual, His love for you, is something that can give you a great deal of stability, comfort, and direction at this point in life when you're leaving high school and entering into the experience of a real adulthood, the beginning of an adulthood. And you cannot know what good God may bring into your life. You may see that He brings certain kinds of good things to the lives of others. What He brings to your life may be different. And at that age, you need to be open to what God can bring you and be thankful for it and be receptive to it. And we learned long ago to adjust our thoughts to God's plans. We had thoughts and desires. We had prayers and hopes. But we found out that God had a better plan in mind, if we're open to it. So it is full of excitement. But these basic truths are so important that as a Christian, see yourself as His servant every day, your body a living sacrifice, your mind to be channeled along His thoughts, as found in His Word. Next part of this chapter has to do with responsibilities and obligations in the body of Christ, the church. I've been giving some recent thought to this portion of the chapter and its significance in the whole of this chapter in recent times. And I notice that Paul uses language like one another and every man among you and so forth. And then when you move into the next paragraph, he expands upon that and he talks about no man and all men and even your enemy. So in verses 3 through 8, here is the Christian's life before the church, but with a special emphasis upon responsibilities and obligations in the body of Christ. And there are some in the church who have special assignments and duties. And Paul speaks of that in this paragraph, and how important that their influence be what it ought to be by the way they serve. So I read back over this chapter again as someone who has special assignments and have had for a long time. And I was impressed with what Paul is saying about influence in this chapter, especially with regard to people who are teachers of the Bible, preachers of the gospel, elders of the church, deacons or servants in the church, and others who have special opportunities as God's people in the church. How important it is that they be not only faithful to God, but that they be leading examples of these Christian principles having to do with conduct and how we think. Read that chapter with that in mind. And then when you move to the last part of the chapter that begins at verse 9, and he's speaking again to everyone among us, of course, as he said earlier. Read that part of the chapter again and see what he's saying about influence there. How we deal with the preference for our brothers above ourselves. How we show love without hypocrisy. How we're attentive to the needs of our brothers and sisters. How we're mindful for those who sorrow and for those who rejoice. And we join with them in heart and expression in that, share with them. How we use the opportunities that God gives us to speak, to give, to help in the name of Christ in the church and toward all men. And that we're careful to avoid ways of the world. That's the pattern of the world, again, that we want to avoid, that have to do with vengeful ways of thinking, and speaking, and acting, and judgmental ways that give no quarter to those who are displeasing to us. And therefore, we fail to serve the mercy of God that would reach people who need the gospel just as much as we need it. I encourage you to read the chapter with that in mind. All along the way, those of us who've been in the church for a long time have collected good influences from those who have blessed our lives. And most of us can remember those people, their faces, their names, some of them long ago. Many of them were elders of the church and deacons, preachers of the gospel, and teachers of Bible classes. One reason that they've had such a good influence upon our lives that has stayed with us is that they not only were in place doing their job or their duty as it was, but they were genuine examples of what it means to be a child of God. They lived by this code of conduct, and they were a light not only to the world, but they were a light, the bright and shining light in the church that helped the rest of us to see how Christianity is modeled and expressed in these principles that God has given us about our conduct and our influence. It's good exercise for us spiritually sometime to go through that album of our lives, a spiritual album, and there upon the pages of that album to see the faces of those people, perhaps even to remember the sound of their voices, to hear the words that were spoken, the conduct of their lives. That's not something that they manufactured on the moment in a day. It was their true heart and their life. They lived close to God, and it came out in the way they lived every day as they offered themselves to God a living sacrifice, and they were transformed by the renewing of their mind, not conformed to this world. And then I wonder, as I close the album, are we such influences? Am I such an influence? And I say to those who are young, do you not want to be such an influence upon others in your service for God? And this is a wonderful opportunity for you, so young, an opportunity to begin now to serve Christ by being a good influence of the gospel upon other people. Let us stand and sing.